Welcome back, and that's still Count Basie, and I'm still Mark Steiner, and we'll remind you here before we join in this new conversation that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com. Or at steinershow.org, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union's banner. We are going to tackle, a subject here on the Steiner Show that is local and in Baltimore County that has caused a lot of consternation there. It is about the animal shelter. There have been demonstrations there saying the animals are not treated properly, euthanized too quickly, and many other issues. We asked the county to join us and the shelter. I'll read their statement. They chose not to join the conversation, but I have a statement they made that I will read. We are joined here by Dr. Antonio Campbell, professor of political science at Towson University and former chair of the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee. This is his second appearance in 2 days. I know he's becoming much more to have him stay here. It'll be a fixture. Good to have you back,
Mark,
Tony.
Good to see you again.
Jody Rossoff is with us, animal rights activist.
Hi.
Kathy Sol is with us. Kat Sol is an animal rights activist, former kennel owner, and owner of a pet sitting and dog walking business. And we are also joined by Deborah Gian, who is legal director for the ACLU of Maryland, which was also involved in this. And welcome. Good to have all four of you with us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
Good. Good to hear your voice again. 410-319-8888 is the number here. You can write to us at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. And we did ask the Baltimore County to come on. We first called the shelter itself. They referred us to the Baltimore County government. We had an email back from Ellen Cobbler of the county government saying, hi, Stephanie, one of our producers. Sorry, we don't have anyone available to come on the show today on such short notice. Here's our statement. We don't have a policy against photographing animals at the shelter. It's never been about photography. It's about people coming into the facility and disrupting the work of the staff trying to do their jobs. Anyone who wants to photograph an animal is free to do so when the shelter is open. Obviously, they will be much easier in once the new facility is built. When volunteers are working at the shelter, they have specific tasks that do not include photography, so they've been asked not to take pictures during their shifts. They are welcome to come back at other times as members of the public and take pictures. It's important to realize that the shutter clicks and flash photography can frighten some animals, especially if they're already nervous in a shelter situation. There is a story manufactured by a handful of advocates who have disrupted shelter employees from their work taking care of animals. The story is generated by a group of people who want the county to release feral cats into neighborhoods. Also, here's the link to the virtual tour of the video for our $6 million animal services facility that will greatly enhance the delivery of services to shelter animals and the public. And we'll have that link on our website as well. And that came from Ellen Cobbler from Baltimore County. And join us here at 410-319-8888. So, Kat, you're the first person I came through to talk about this. So,
right.
So what about that statement? What is, if you can describe for us in a concise sense, what's the issue here from your perspective?
Well, regarding the photography policy, you have in front of you the PowerPoint presentation that the volunteers were just given at their recent volunteer orientation, and it says that volunteers are not allowed to take pictures. What is it? Can you read that, Mark?
It says, no photograph of an animal is to be taken by a volunteer. Communicate with the shelter staff any issues and comments about photography and specific animals.
Okay, so we obviously have a contradiction between what the volunteers are being told and what the county is saying, and that's why the ACLU got involved, because of the photography ban. I have a cell phone. I have a cell phone camera. I think in a government facility, if something is in plain sight, I have the right to take a picture of it. And that's animals. That's, whatever I see at the shelter. So when I volunteered, now it's been over a year since I was a volunteer there, but at that time, whenever they saw me with my camera out, they would chastise me for taking pictures. And there was no written policy at that time. Everything was verbal. The volunteers, when I was a volunteer there, we didn't have any kind of written rules at all. So if you broke a rule, it was someone yelling
right
at you.
But the county also said that volunteers can come back on their own time as citizens and take pictures.
But then there's another statement right there that says that the volunteers are not allowed to stay on grounds after.
No, but they can come back, they're saying. Once they leave, they can come back.
I suppose maybe they can. But there's a great deal of confusion about whether pictures can be taken or not at the shelter.
So before I jump into what I really think is, I'm going to get into the heart of what the real issues are here inside the shelter itself. Deborah Gian, so why did the ACLU get involved in this aspect of it?
Well, the ACLU got involved because we were hearing complaints from both volunteers and members of the public about efforts by the shelter to silence criticism, and including the practice or policy of restricting photography. There have, as Kat said, been a lot of mixed messages about the photography issue. We heard from numerous volunteers that they were not allowed to take photographs. We actually sent some testers from the ACLU to try to determine what the exact policy was. They were outfitted with big cameras, obvious cameras. They went in and they, this was during the late summer, they started to take pictures of the animals. They were claiming to be a couple that was looking to adopt a pet. And after a little while, they were confronted by the director of the shelter and asked, why exactly are you taking pictures? They explained that they wanted to take pictures to send to their niece because she was going to have a say in how they which pet they adopted. And she said, oh, okay, that would be okay. You can take your pictures. However, if you were taking them for an inappropriate purpose, you wouldn't be allowed. I'm always called in to ask people why they're taking pictures, and if it's inappropriate, then they're not allowed to take the photographs. And so the testers asked, what would be an inappropriate reason to take a picture of an animal? And she said, well, for example, if you were from Channel 2, you wouldn't be allowed. So, I think the purposes that both the volunteers and the members of the public have are varied for taking pictures. Some people want to take them for purposes of adoption and promoting adoption. That's a big purpose of a lot of the volunteers.
That's what I was trying to do.
Other people want to do it. There's one of our clients who wants to track what happens to the pets that are in there. She wants to take pictures of the animals in their cards to see how long they stay and whether they're actually euthanized or whether they're released. So she's sort of trying to monitor the euthanasia rates. And other people want to take pictures of poor conditions at the shelter.
We're trying to reunite animals with their families.
So, and
people have a right to do that, and under the Constitution, you know, you have a right to criticize the government. You have a right to take photographs of things that are in public view, and so that's what the ACLU has contacted the shelter about. And we've heard some of these responses, and to the extent that the county is modifying its photography policy, that's great. We'll be checking into that and sending folks out to see what their experience is. But we haven't yet heard an official response from the county.
Okay, we have to get a very brief break and come back. I want to kind of talk about what led up to this question of where they can take pictures out and what the accusations are from the folks in the studio and others about what's happening in the shelter and why this is even necessary. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Even though I am shattered, it's easy for you.
We went to break and came back with Melba Moore. Father, this is her birthday today. We wish her a happy birthday, Melba Moore. So we are here talking about the animal shelter in Baltimore County and the controversy swirling around it. We heard before we went to break Deborah Gian, who is legal director for the ACLU Maryland. We are joined in studio here by Kat Soule. Kathy Soule is an animal rights activist and former kennel owner and owner of a pet sitting and dog walking business. Jody Rossoff is an animal rights activist. Dr. Antonio Campbell. Tony Campbell is a professor of political science at Towson University and former chairperson of the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee. 410-319-8888 is a number here. But let me talk a bit about what led up to this question of taking pictures and what the push was around the animal shelter that I've been hearing about for some months, even before this suit came up for the ACLU. What is happening here?
Some of the pictures that led to the outrage was one particular picture was a cat with a broken jaw that was sitting there for quite a while before getting any veterinary care. Another picture was a picture of a starved, emaciated dog just laying in a locked kennel. I myself went to see that dog. That dog had been laying there for 4 days before I got to see it. The dog was clearly emaciated. Her eyes were sunken in her head. And I had a vet with me, and I asked if the vet could examine her, and they told me no. They told me I couldn't take the dog until her stray hold was up. At that point, I really, really knew that there were some serious problems.
So you're accusing the animal shelter of abusing the animals?
They abused that animal by not giving her the proper vet care that she deserved upon arrival. They should have had that animal at the vet ASAP. They let her lay in a kennel for 4 days.
I'm comfortable accusing them of neglect, and I have photographs that are over a year old, so the county doesn't care about them. But when I was volunteering there, animals were being neglected, and the word abuse can be looked at very many different ways. But when the kennels are designed so that when you clean them, you have to get the animal wet to hose the feces past the animal, and the animal remains in a wet kennel and is left outside where it's cold, that's abuse. That is abuse. And that was what was going on at the shelter.
So, Deborah, before you I know you have to go here in a couple of minutes. Let me get a final thought from you on where this all is in terms of legal issues you're addressing, and I'll come back to our panel.
The legal issues that that we're addressing are under the First Amendment, that we're concerned both about the photography policy, the ban against photography, and also about retaliation against volunteers who criticize the management of the shelter or violate the photography ban. There was one of the folks who is involved in the letter to the county was actually her work as a volunteer at the shelter was to take pictures. She used to do it and take the photos and then put them up on animal adoption websites to try to get the animals out of the shelter. And one day she, I guess, crossed the wrong person and somebody was offended by the way the picture she was taking somehow and told her she had to stop. She said, okay, I'll stop in my capacity as a volunteer, but I'm going to stay here in my capacity as a private citizen and mm-hmm. continue to take some photos. And she was followed around as she did that. And then next day, she was terminated from her volunteer position. And it seemed obvious that it was linked to her having continued to take photographs in violation of the ban. So we're concerned about that. We've asked the county to meet with us and to discuss these issues so that we can try to work out a solution that helps everyone, including the animal.
Deborah Jean, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all the work you and ACLU always do to protect our rights. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. So, and coming back, so what is it? Let me just go around the room here. Kat, and the commander from Tony Yet, really. What is it that started this, and what is it that you are asking the county to do? What is it you're demanding when it comes to the shelter?
We're asking the county to do the same thing that Baltimore City did a decade ago and allow a nonprofit to run the adoption end of the shelter.
Pardon me.
We would have a public-private partnership so that the county is still in charge of the animal control and enforcement aspect, and that a nonprofit with volunteers would be running the care part of the shelter. Currently, the care part is the problem. And they've basically refused to even discuss this. I personally have...
What do you mean the care part is the problem?
Well, the way the law is now and the way the shelters run now, it's just a sort of industrial facility where lost pets are rounded up and killed. That's a very old school way of running a shelter. And here on the East Coast, if you look around you in Virginia, in Delaware, in Baltimore City, in I can't list all the places,
but they have
taken a new approach to sheltering. Now, here the county's going to build a $6 million facility. And if you look at the virtual tour of the facility that they produced, there's no mention of volunteers whatsoever. So it's going to be a fabulous new building where they're going to kill lost pets. The euthanasia rate is too high.
What is the euthanasia rate? What do you mean it's too high?
It's some 70% of the animals that come into the shelter.
And is that odd compared to other shelters?
Very odd. Like
it's
down
the worst performing shelter in the state of Maryland.
It is the worst performing shelter in the state of Maryland. And we've been telling them for a decade, this is nothing new. The council people change over every couple of years, and you're talking to new council people, and that's all it is. Now, when I tried to speak to Mr. Kamenetz, at an event where you're supposed to be able to speak to Mr. Kamenetz, he told me that we would not be discussing the animal shelter. And that's been his response to just about everyone, including a friend of mine this weekend who tried to speak to him at a private event where she's supposed to be able to speak to him. He said, nope, we're not talking about the shelter. So if they won't even discuss it with us, and then they send you a statement that we're all just a bunch of crazy cat ladies... I take umbrage at that. I'm a taxpayer. I want them to listen to me.
So I'm going to turn to Tony, but bring you in here. We just got a tweet from Beth saying, I volunteer at BCAS, which is Baltimore County Animal Shelter. No list of duties exists for us preventing us from taking photos. Typical misdirection from the county. She also said photos county posts of lost dogs, and she gave us, we'll link to that site. Volunteer photos were superior. Control issue, that's all, is what Beth just tweeted in. And Tony?
Yeah, well, it is a control issue. They're trying to control the narrative, and it doesn't help that it's an election year. And this is an issue when I ran for county executive earlier this year, there were probably a handful of issues across the board that affected most of the residents of Baltimore County. And this is one of them, you know. I don't know exactly what the number is, but we can safely say that over 50% of people in Baltimore County have a pet,
it's
have
more
an
like
animal.
70.
Probably 70%. And the fact that your taxpayer dollars are going to a facility that is acting in a 1950s model as far as animal control, and that their preferred method of dealing with the situation is holding animal for a few days, even animals that are actually owned by residents of Baltimore County. There's been at least three or four news stories in the last several months where Channel 11 did a couple, Channel 2 did a couple, that talked about people losing their pets, going up to the shelter, asking that, knowing that their pet is there, being told that their pet is not there, and having to physically walk through the facility to find their pet.
And their pet's been microchipped,
and
they
recently
have never scanned for the pets.
Recently, they moved all the cats, so you can't even find your lost cat. It's in a trailer behind
the
shelter.
Cats are in a hidden spot.
They're
the public's
hidden.
Not allowed to go look.
So you're looking for your cat and you think your cat is lost, you can't
go into that.
You have
particular
to know
trailer.
That there are cats in a trailer that you can look at too. It's almost as if they're hiding these lost pets. I mean, I don't want to suggest that there's something nefarious going on, but it is ridiculous that you would have to go to the shelter to look for your animal, and then the animal isn't even on display, and you have to figure out to ask somebody if you can go into that trailer and look.
Well, what do we think is going on here? I mean, most people who run animal shelters, you think are people of kind of goodwill who care about the animals around them.
I think they have
management.
No clue how to really run the shelter. It's poor management. They don't have the efforts to really do a good job.
There are six people drawing management salaries from that shelter, at least six.
The shelter manager makes over $93,000 a year.
And yet they lose all the volunteer applications on a regular basis. I had to fill my volunteer application out three times. There was a woman who testified before the council last week that they lost her volunteer application four times. So the woman who runs the shelter can't even keep track of 20 volunteer applications. The things I saw when I volunteered there, I can barely even describe to you, Mark.
They spend more time putting out the fires than making
efforts keeping people
to
quiet.
Do things right and do things
speak
the right
up
way.
And you're out.
Training, there's no training for any of these employees.
I was not allowed to walk dogs when I worked there. I was told that I was unqualified to walk dogs, and I walk dogs for a living.
Here's the thing that I think
Tony Campbell.
That's important. Not only a taxpayer-funded aspect of it, but the fact of the matter is that this is a facility that is the last resort for most people. Most of the animals that go there are coming from different parts of the county that people don't have easy access to Manor Road. Dundalk X is, kind of Arbutus. That's far away from the shelter itself. They don't even know where the shelter is.
And
most
there's
of
no
them.
Community outreach.
And there's no community outreach on top of it. So, a couple million dollars for personnel, that's not really performing the job that they're supposed to.
Let me go to the phones here. People are calling in and get a couple calls in here. And also another question here I want to read, 410-319-8888. Joy, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to make a few comments. Everyone on that panel there knows me. Hello. And I've been very aware of what's been going on at this facility. I hesitate to even call her a shelter because it's a facility that I think they're in cahoots with Cruella de Vil getting these pelts, because the euthanasia rate, the treatment of the animals, the response from county executives and county council members has been abhorrent when it comes to the treatment of the animals that go in and never come out. The fact that this facility has been allowed to continue at this level is beyond shocking to anyone. I work with approximately 30 different shelters and rescues. I'm on the board of a rescue. We are unable to pull from Baltimore County Animal Control because they have a very select few rescues. Even if you are a legitimate, legalized nonprofit, they still have very few rescues that will allow you to pull from them, which is what reduces the euthanasia rate in shelters. Rescues pull dogs and cats and then place them in foster homes and then adoptive homes. And I've never come across a shelter or facility that is unwilling to work with rescues to pull dogs and cats to go into foster care and be rehabilitated.
I'm going to have to go back to the panel because we only have a few minutes left. And I want to kind of get some thoughts in here from the panel before we have to go. Because this is, so the question is, where do you go from here? And if people are interested in kind of learning more about this and being part of this, the effort, where do they go?
ReformBaltimoreCounty.org.
That's your website?
Yes.
And where we go, I think, I'm not a political person at all. Mark, you know me. I'm an artist. I don't care about politics. But in this case, I'm afraid Mr. Kamenetz would need to leave, and someone who's more compassionate towards the animals in this community would need to be our leader, because he's proven that the humanity towards animals is not a concern of his. So
no, he's more interested in building a shelter.
So for argument's sake, if Mr. Kamenetz does win, I mean, what's your next steps? What do you do? And
Reason why I'm here is not because of the two things that you've said before. It's because I started a PAC called Pet Lovers for Effective Advocacy. And so what we are trying to do is get five people on a county council that's going to be supportive of animal welfare efforts. Because if five people on a county council, the county council can do things, can override the county executive's veto and things that the county charter allows for a supermajority on a county council to do. At this point, we've got three, maybe four. So that fifth person is important, and so that's our focus. It would be nice if Mr. Kamenetz was to be defeated on Tuesday. That's one of the reasons why I ran. But
we need to. Crazy Cat ladies vote. We're all voting now. We're going to be voting for Mr. Kamenetz's opponent because we have
only fairness, we can't really get into this kind of the political.
Sorry,
right.
But I'm really interested in where you go from here and what kind of shelter you want to see. We only have like a couple of minutes left, and what can we stop? Because one of the things you said, I think that really got to me a moment ago, Jody, was that it has the highest kill rate in Maryland at 70%, and that's pretty horrendous. We're talking about animals that we're supposed to be saving that we are instead euthanizing and
right.
killing.
Right, and if, they're all about the budget and all that, $96,000 for somebody running the worst-performing shelter in the state of Maryland is ridiculous. And then they want to increase the budget almost another $400,000 for next year. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, we want a volunteer program. We want people to come in. We want a volunteer coordinator. We want trained people running the shelter, not the Three Stooges. It's ridiculous what's going on in there. People don't, they have no sheltering experience. They make no efforts. There's no real policies or procedures to run the shelter. Nothing's done in the way it should be.
So for people to get involved, let me just tell you all, it is reformbcas.org, reformbcas.org, which we'll put on our website. And do you have a contact number for your group or a website?
No.
Okay.
I'm just here.
But also write your council people. Write your council people. Write the county executive. Demand change.
And vote. Please come out and vote.
And vote and find out where the people running for city, county council in your district, how they stand on this.
30 seconds? You have 30 seconds?
Literally less than that.
But. Okay. So here's the end game is that what we want is for the county to be heroes. They can easily change the policy at the shelter. It's not about the brick and mortars. It's about the policy that's in the facility. And all they have to do is to change the policy. And that's what we're pushing for.
Well, we will continue looking at this after the election takes place and see where you all are. I want to thank Debbie John from the ACLU for joining us earlier. Just heard Tony Campbell. And we are here with Jody Rossoff and Kat Soul. Thank the four of you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
We're taking a break here with Bob Dylan's Rolling Thunder Review, Tangled Up in Blue, 1975. Joan Baez joins Bob Dylan as a member of the Rolling Thunder Review. We will be right back with our weekly look at what's happening in the city paper. Don't go away.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. She was lying in bed. Wondered if she changed it all, if her hair was still red. If folks didn't sit their lives together, shoes are gonna be rough.